And then, of course, everybody says ve'ahavta ve'achid, right, by themselves.
Including
but they do.
Hazan.
But at the very end, the Hazan will say, Ad Hashem Elokeichem Emet. I mean, the Hazan will say that. But if you're praying alone.
But does the Kahal do?
And then the Kahal will just say Emet.
So same.
Yeah, same, right. But if we're praying by ourselves, instead of saying this here at the very beginning here, we say, Kel Melech Ne'eman.
Oh,
which is
Ne'eman.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that's
a little different.
That's the other three words.
Yeah.
That you're missing
right.
here.
Yeah, exactly.
So
we put the three words at the beginning rather than at the end. Yeah. But it's.
See, we say Kel Melech Ne'eman at night, Alamata.
Uh huh. Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Okay, yes, I guess we follow the same thing. Okay.
What do you do during the course of the year?
Where do I go?
What do you do? What is your...
What am I doing now? I mean...
Yeah, what do you do?
For money?
You go to school?
Or,
you go to
I don't
you
go to school anymore. Now I'm working. I work,
what do you work?
I do computer programming.
Oh, you're in commerce.
Yeah.
It means you're commerce.
Yeah.
So now what is your interest in this?
Well, I'm doing that so I can write my dissertation so I can become a music professor.
Oh, you want to, eventually,
yeah.
That's what you want to become.
Right, exactly.
Eventually, you want to become a music professor.
Right, like K.
What,
like K.
Yeah. Now, by music professor, what do you teach?
Oh, teach all sorts of things. I mean, you teach the history of music, teach music theory, teach aspect. I mean, I'm interested, you know, in non-Western music, so I've taught, like, courses in... you know, all sorts of things in music all around the world, Arabic music, Japanese music, music from Java, music from China, all sorts of different countries like that. Plus, in addition to teaching, you know, like the Mozart, Beethoven, Haydn, you know,
what
teaching
do you teach in that?
There are particular forms in the music, like something they call sonata form, which is, you know, something that's very particular to classical music.
How music is composed?
Composed and put together, and what particular forms that there are particular patterns.
I mean, I
patterns.
Listen to the, what's the name, that famous Jewish musical director.
Zubin Mehta?
Huh? No.
Bernstein?
Bernstein.
Yeah.
I listened to a couple of his... Not symphonies, just talks about how music is composed and so on and so on. Western, I'm talking about
like
Western music.
Like,
so something on that order.
Right, exactly. So like for in Western music, there are particular forms and particular patterns that are in the music in terms of, I mean, very much like how you've described how the makamat, you start on one makam, you go to another makam. In Western music, you start in a particular key. Right, it's not so much that you change scales like from major to minor, but if you stay in major and you're in one key, you then switch to another key at another point, and there's a whole pattern and a whole like science as to how all that's done, and
of course,
you know, and people have really studied that with lots of detail.
Sure.
And it's important for performers who go to a conservatory to know when they're playing the cello that they know, you know, how they're playing.
Or a Western singer, even a singer.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You want to sing,
exactly.
Tell
your
accompanist what key you're going to sing for, and so on and so forth.
Right. But the particular field that I'm in that I've studied with Kay is called ethnomusicology, you know, which looks at, you know, non-Western music.
Foreign music.
Right, exactly. So this is really, you know, this is what my dissertation is on, you know, the music of the Syrian community. So that's specifically what I'm doing. I mean, I just work a few days a week just to get money.
But I want to tell you, as far as Oriental music, you've chosen really the broadest and the finest to
absolutely.
Make your dissertation on.
Yeah. Oh, no,
there's
I enjoy
question
it.
About it.
No, I've really enjoyed studying the makamat. You know, I play the oud. I go see hockey, and it's...
Yeah?
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I really enjoy it. Yeah, it's very enjoyable.
Do you listen to much Western music? Do you have any tapes?
Western music, yeah, I have a lot.
No, I'm talking about...
Arabic music. I mean, hockey, you've given me some suggestions. I usually ask... What hockey usually does now is that... What we did for a while was we did a different makam every week, and he gave me like a short little song, almost like not a song, but like an exercise. And now that I've done that a lot and I can play all the makamat, what he's done is he's like given me like a certain song, a song of, you know, Farid the Atrash, Mukothum, or Muhammad Abdul Wahab, and then he'll have me listen to the original recording. And then, you know, he's usually written out the music, but now he wants me to try and, you know, not do it from the notes, too, because he writes out the music. And so then, you know, he teaches me how to do it.
He's also a teacher of music in one of the schools,
isn't he? He's retired now.
But what did he teach? I never
asked. He taught Western music.
He
taught Western music, yeah.
What you're interested in.
Yeah, exactly. But he taught, like, in high schools and junior highs, and he taught bands and orchestras and things like that. And because he plays a lot of instruments, I mean, he can play almost any instrument.
Of course.
But violin is really his major instrument.
Yeah.
But he's very talented. I mean, in Western music and non-Western music.
He's a musician.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a good teacher. I really learned a lot from him. So he's, you know, he teaches me a different song every week.
That's funny. I never got interested in learning the notes.
If you're a singer, it's not as important.
No, my type of singer is not important. But now I miss it just in order to relate it.
Yeah.
You know, because it's true. In my younger days, I sang for my enjoyment. I was never a professional. It was only for my joy. I enjoyed singing very, very much, and this was my love.
Right.
So I wasn't interested in anything else.
Right.
But now, as I get more and more involved, and I start thinking now of the science of music and how music came out, and I got more and more involved in it, and later in these, you know, later years. And I say, I think David, my brother, is more conversant with the notes than I am.
Yeah.
I think he knows that.
He sat down and...
He's more conversant in Western notes than I am. And, but in my family, I was the singer.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my brothers all just enjoyed listening to me.
Mm-hmm.
When we were at our party, I was the one that would be singing. I mean, we'd all then, after we joined, and so on and so forth, but I was the singer. And with me, music was my second love, next to my wife.
That was very nicely put.
And before that, it was before.
That's right. That's all the same.
Oft times when I sing, I have to sing with her mind.
You know, David gave me this chart, which has been very useful, that shows the notes.
Uh-huh,
it shows how, like, Rast and Nawa, how related they are, Bayat, Saba, Kurd, Hijaz.
Yes, that's it. I mean, he's familiar with the Western notes.
Yeah, so this has been very, very useful. Very useful. Well, I just want to ask you a couple questions about this particular chart. I think, like, you've described to me that, for example, that there are certain makamat that have particular associations. Like, anytime it's Brit Milah, it's going to be Saba. Death is Hijaz. Ajam is joy. And so on. But I'm curious about some of these other things, like when it may be Bayat or Nawand or things like that.
It's only because there's a song playing. Where you have your Pismonian book.
Yeah.
This is when you take one look, it'll give you the shortest explanation to them. Shir le Shabbat Bereshit, Hanun Merom Melech. Let's see what it is.
Okay.
מוזיקה לשבת פרשית מלך עוזר עשה לו עזר פרשית made עזר to אדם הראשון
right.
He made חווה that's right. עזר to אדם הראשון
her
okay יסרו זך דוב באדם he created אדם הראשון
good
פרשית
right.
תנו בגן מרקדם he can put him in Eden
right.
לעבוד אלוהי קדם לשמור דרך עושה חיים the tree of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're singing Bayat.
Okay.
Because there was a Pesmon that included much of the subject of that particular parasha in it, in its essence. So we sing Bayat.
Okay. Let's take another one.
Okay. Most of them you're going to find that's the reason. And here's another one. El Hayin Ora 403. For the same parasha. The Shabbat Bereshit, we'll say this Pesmon, the Abdo Yasar HaAdam, that's the only reason we're saying the Pesmon. Because he created Adam HaRishon.
This is Makam Saba.
This is Saba, yes. But they chose on the other one. The other one probably had precedence over this.
Okay.
So they chose the other one.
Okay. But for something like Noach, it says Sika. Is there any particular reason?
Noah. Seeger. No, I don't have a reason. I don't have a reason for it.
Okay. And Lech Lecha Saba for Brit Mila. Okay. And Vayera?
Vayera, Rahal, or Naaman. There's a choice of them. Most probably there's a pizmon attached to it.
Okay.
And this Hayesera, we know that anything that's right. said, that we sing, we say the Hajaz. Toldot Mahur. No, again, no reason. It's just variety, variation. Okay.
Vayetse?
Vayetse, it's happy. Ajam, already he went, he left. Vayetse, Akum Be'er Shalav Yerech Harana, Vayetse, Ka'abu Makom, and I was happy. Again,
Vayishlah.
Saba or Siga? No, just a choice. Probably there's also some Pizmonim attached to it, but that's a choice, that's all.
Vayeshel.
Now, you see, all of the others, with the exception of a few who are definitely marked as representing that subject, the right. others are practically choices.
Okay.
And they attach right, some
so
reason.
You can use something else besides Sabah or Siga, right? Or
yes. If it's, you could. We generally don't because everybody is accepting that that's the way it is.
Okay.
So we don't. Right. But, but for example, no, let me put it the other way. Okay. For example, to pray Hajaz over here, they will object to it.
Okay.
Because that's defined for a sad occasion. Although I love the Maqam Hajaz. I think it's a beautiful Maqam. And you Ashkenazim, they use it all the time.
Right.
And I love it. It's a beautiful Maqam. But we associate it already with something sad, something, you know. So, like, if he would have made yesterday, Nahari touched on Hajaz twice. Immediately, Al-Akram, don't stick to it. Because even though I love it, don't stick to good, because the 15 or 20 that can understand Hajjaz say, on Saturday night for Havdalah, he's making Hajjaz for us? you're supposed to laugh, it's supposed to be happy, you know, you accept the week already with Nashamah Yeterah, and you're already coming out from the Shabbat, you know. So in other words, what I'm saying is, there are certain maqamat, which if you do say them at the wrong time, you will get criticized. The others, it's not so critical, except that this is the tradition, this is what we follow. So they open this book, again, Rust, we associate Rust always with the beginning of a Sefer.
What
of a Sefer. No, except that Rust maybe is the head of all the Maqamat. Maqamat. Rust is the basic head of all Maqamat.
Why is it?
Because they feel that all Maqamat will emanate from Rust.
From Rust, okay.
Is it true according to your notes? Okay.
That's true.
So, now, so maybe because of that reason. Yes, also it's the beginning of the Sefer.
All right, so Hijaz, why is Hijaz sad? I mean, you say you love it, it's not necessarily sad?
If you say this pure Hijaz, like this other Hassan, who is not very accomplished, and he's afraid that when he speaks to Hijaz, he'll just take the deep Hajaz, and he'll say the whole prayers of Hajaz, you'll find that after a while, it gets a hold of you. It's you want to take it off. He has no variety, no variation in it. So it's possible that the deep Hajaz, as it is sad sounding.
There's something about that just
sounds sad. It is sad sounding.
Okay, and Saba?
Saba is delicate. Saba is probably the most delicate maqam that we have.
Okay.
The reason we attach it because if there's a Berit Milan, you don't say Saba, they'll criticize you.
Right.
Now, if I have a Berit Milan in my family, I don't always pray Saba. I'll say Ajam, but wind up with Saba. Touch on Saba very much. Ajam and Saba associate very, very easily. Are you aware of that?
I wasn't aware of that.
Even if I'm going to make Taksim, I very often start on a high Ajam and come down to Saba.
Okay.
And then I'll finish with Saba and go into whatever song I want to sing in Saba or Pizmon and Saba.
You're talking about a Brit Milah during the week?
During the week. When you have the Brit Milah in the place. On Shabbat, when there is a Brit Milah, you'll find that no matter what Maqam he's praying in, they always say the Kedusha and Saba. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. They always say it in Saba, and they'll say it in one of these Saba songs.
Because there's a Brit Milah in the community or in the synagogue, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know that.
Most of the time, they make it in at the Ahubi, mm-hmm. the name of the pizmon.
Atahubi?
Atahubi.
Okay.
Now, there's a Bayat song also that's designed for Berit Mila.
Okay.
The, some of the Hazanim that know what will make it there, but 99% they'll say Atahubi. They okay. attach that pizmon to the Kedusha. Once they say that, they know there's a Mila.
Okay.
And,
okay.
See, this is
Okay.
So usually they'll do that.
Okay, great. Okay, like something like Miketz being in Siga. Any?
No, there's no particular, no other explanation.
Vayigash and Bayat?
Yeah, again, there's no other explanation for them, all of these.
Okay, so Sabbat, Saba has a certain delicacy to it, Hijaz has a sad flavor, and Ajam?
Happy.
Happy.
So has Nahuand.
Okay. Okay.
So has Nahuand.
Okay. Now, one of the interesting things, questions that I also have is, for example, Siga. Is there anything that Siga is associated with?
No.
Any
nothing in particular.
Nothing in particular, okay. And is there any is there any reason why Siga is used for the Ta'amim?
That's the way the Masoret, that's why we received it.
I mean, just the Masoret?
Yeah.
Okay.
What is the Maqam of your Ta'amim? Is there a Maqam?
It's...
Can you make it? Is it anything fixed?
Maybe it's more major. More like Ajam. Mm. Maybe more like Ajam.
It's so not nice. It's just so... You're a musician. Does it sound nice to you, the Kriyat Sefer Torah?
It depends who's doing it. I mean, it depends on how it's done.
Is there some artistry that they can do it?
Absolutely. I don't think it is to the same extent that that it is for you. I don't think
now
it is
you know
to the
that
same extent. But see, most people don't. Most people aren't careful for each time.
We are.
Yeah. I mean, they'll make might do Zakef Katon. Et Nachta,
Atna, Self-Pursuit. We are very particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, the Korea Shabbat, if he misses three or four ta'amim in the whole parasha, it's a lot.
Wow.
When I read the parasha, I won't miss.
Mm-hmm.
And of late now, any parasha that I've read as a youngster, of course, I'll remember the ta'amim. If there's a parasha that I hadn't read as a youngster now, it's a headbreaker. For me to remember everyone.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
I mean, I was
not
trained.
Only that,
I mean,
and
I
Sof Pasuk.
Yeah.
Because we, the one thing that you want, see, we do not correct on
ta'amim?
Missing ta'amim.
But you correct on the words. Right?
Oh, of course.
That's halacha.
But we also correct on Sof Pasuk, which is halacha.
Uh-huh. Right, yes. Yes.
See?
Yeah.
Sof Pasuk, we actually correct the Hazan. And the words, no question about it. But Ta'amim, we do not correct. However, I mean, if a person, Baal Koreh, he gets up and he hears Ghanayadul, they don't let him breathe anymore.
Right.
It's simple as that.
What I was going to tell you is that the
proficient Hazanim also, they attach variation to the Ta'amim's melody.
Right.
And they'll make, for example, Azla Gerish in Bayat.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll make an Azla Gerish in Saba. They'll make it Azla Gerish in Nahwand. But then they come back to Sigar right away.
Mm-hmm.
See, in other words, they don't keep singing Azla Gerish in Sigar. That's the simple time.
Mm-hmm.
Simple. Azlagerish. That's with little embellishment. Silver cigar. Azlasaba. Come back to cigar. Bayat. Atla Bayat. I have to close it in Sigah. So they embellish it. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. They're all given to Nahwan, the song that are really, you know, proficient.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, it's delightful. To me, it becomes so boring. I have a towel. Here is the reading of the Perasha. He is the son of a cousin of mine. And they happen to be. Their mother was the Maskeen from what you call the
Ahiezer.
They have a different. They see their music is not as delicate. Although they're both in Syria,
mm-hmm.
but the Damascus music is much much coarser than the Halabi. Halabi is fine.
I mean, do the Damascus follow the same Akamat?
Yeah. Yes, they do. But I say their delivery is not as delicate as ours. So he learned the Qur'at Sefer Torah from his grandfather and these Damaskeens, rather. And his reading is comes so monotonous. He will not miss three ta'amim in the whole parasha.
Mm-hmm.
Not three. But it becomes so monotonous. Every how many Azlagerish is there in there? To me, it becomes so monotonous at the end. I will give it a little variation.
Right.
Because I'm musical.
Right.
See? And the same thing, there's many Tabir, Dargah Tabir, which is a very delicate note in our Kari'at Sefer Torah. Give it a little differentiation. All right, but so I'm just telling you that that's used. Then there's such thing as overdoing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We had a fellow here by Riyahi. I don't know if you're here. I don't think you ever met him from Egypt, from Israel. And he is from Morocco, but he's a very very fine musician. Sings very delicate. He's learned he's a good musician, terrific. I'm talking about Oriental musician, terrific. And he's read Sefer Torah for 50 years because he knows all time. But this guy, he changes every time. Every time he wants to give it his own. Wow. So sometimes I'm sound I say, listen, are we reading the Perasha or are we singing? What are we doing? He changes a lot.
One other question I had, I guess this sort of puts like what we were doing earlier and we'll end this together, that, for example, when it's Maqam Hijaz, okay, for example, which has, as you said, like the meat of it, it has a certain degree of sadness, as you're putting it into, you know, the three pillars of Nishmat, as you described, or the seven different sections that are sung, you know, between Nishmat, you know, Shabbat Aniyim, and so on. But as you described to me, Nishmat, you have to use a classic piece, right?
Kaddish and Kedusha.
And Kedusha. But for the other ones, you said, are like little ditties.
Yeah.
But so what is that? How, if Hijaz is supposed to be sad, it's sad because of Chayasara.
Yeah, but there's beautiful songs in Hijaz which are still ditties, like.
There
are beautiful songs,
right.
Hijaz, which are ditties. They're light. Right. It's light music. It's thick. It's timing.
But if Hijaz, is it supposed to be sad during all of Nishmat, all of Shacharit?
It's not... Yes, you must say yes, because that's the maqam that they pick,
right.
Because it's a sad, it's either a haraymot, or somebody died, or the abadat al-aigil, which is a sad thing, it's a bad thing, and so on and so forth. So they pray this hajaz. But when you come to the other bridge, Shabbat Aniyim or Semihim B'Setam, now you're in the tefillah itself. So they use a lighter piece of Hijaz music. And there is light music in Hijaz too. As I say, I love Hijaz. But the deep Hijaz, maybe, yes, does create sort of a sad atmosphere, sad connotation. But there are songs which are composed. Basically, it's a Hijaz maqam, but they have a lot of rhythm, they have a lot of timing. So... I mean, does that
I mean, so that, that feeling of sadness isn't necessarily all the way throughout Shacharit.
No, it doesn't. Oh, no, no. Oh, just for I the major. What you mean. No, yeah. It doesn't. No, no. Even I mean, even what can I tell you? Even when you say that classic piece in the in the Kaddish, which is supposed to be sad, still the music does not necessarily mean it's sad. They attach just to the Hijaz itself a sad connotation.
Okay.
But when I say classic, the beautiful pieces that I have taught, for example, Nahari and the Kaddish, and Hijaz, they're gorgeous and they're not sad, they're beautiful. They're very beautiful. But just the connotation of Hijaz, already you know that. Now, if you pray all Hijaz, but then don't forget that in the body of the Tefillah itself, he delves in the Hijaz.
Right.
He deals with the Hijaz in the body of itself, not in the music, not in the song piece.
Okay.
This is what you should give attention to.
Right, okay.
Not in the, because you're just directing your remarks just at the song piece. Forget the song piece. The body of the Sla itself is because, as you know, we perform the whole Sla, we may give it a melody.
Right.
So that in itself can become, and that's what this fellow does. My God, I guess the Hijaz, that's only because he's limited. And he's afraid to get out of it. And that's the Hijaz that he knows.
Right.
I mean, look, you take rust. There's different rusts.
Right. But at the same time, as you said, you also need a little bit of variety. You need to
Sure. Yeah. I'm not talking about variety only in the different maqamat. You need variety in the maqam itself.
Yeah. In different parts of Hijaz. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, you could understand that.
Sure.
Hijaz,
sure.
You could develop Hijaz. You can take all the notes. You go the high note, you go the low note, you get different. There's different.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's a very important point. It's not just the seven sections. It's you know, because the seven sections are a small part of it. It's there's still other things involved.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Okay. All right. Well, that was a good day's worth of.
I had such. My wife has the high blood pressure, and lately in the past couple of weeks it's been volatile. So she has a machine. We take it, and I give her. You know, she takes the medication. And she's fine. Baruch Hashem. But all of a sudden, it went up very high. My gosh! So I called her. We have a wonderful doctor. It's a woman doctor, her heart doctor. She went, as a matter of fact, she went to school with Sheila, to yeshiva. Yeah, so that was yeshiva. Dr. Elizabeth Moss. So I at 1 o'clock, I called her. I said, Elizabeth, Alice has her pressure is what was it? I think 175 or 180 by 112.
That's very high.
That's high. And to me, that's high. Other people say, that's all right, but to me, we're not used to that. It's high. Oh, okay, the worry, you have this, yeah, I know what I have. The worry, I have just Zestril. Okay, give her a double dose of Zestril. And check with me later. Another thing I'm going to say, then we said she was relaxed all day long. I mean, she wasn't under any pressure or anything like that. About 2 o'clock, she took it again. Now it was 185 by 124. So I called again at 2 o'clock. She says, do you have this? I don't know, she called a certain name of a medication. I said, no, we don't. She says, but I don't want to take a chance. She'd have a little stroke like she had last year. You better take her to the emergency admittance in hospitals and let her give her some medication. I first went out at 2 o'clock. We didn't get back till 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
But she's okay. She's
fine. When was this? This
last night.
Last night? Oh, wow. Well, I'm glad she's okay.
She's fine, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. All right, well, I'll do my very best to get that cassette for you.
Yeah, it should be very interesting for you, too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It'll be very, very interesting.
I get one for me and one for you.
Yes, you know, you'll get this thing that looks like that. But I find it very interesting.
That sounds good. And one of these days, what I'd love to sit and talk with you about is, I mean, I guess when you were growing up, I mean, do you remember things about